Eric, you want to say the pledge? Okay.
Please rise.
We come to order.
Please join me as we salute our nation's flag. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Amezcua.
Present.
Director Bilodeau.
Bilodeau present.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Tran. Director Wigan.
Here.
Director Whitaker. Director Yeo. Okay, you do have a quorum of your board with six directors present.
Okay, do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
All right. This is the time for visitor participation. Do we have anyone who would like to speak? We'll listen. Anybody?
Nope. No hands.
Nobody? All right. Moving on to the consent calendar. Do I have a motion?
I'll make Someone a motion.
Listen. I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Okay.
Roll call, Director Amezcua.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
No, I am.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Wigan?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with six yes votes with Directors Sheldon, Tran, Whitaker, and Yeo absent.
Okay. Director Wigan, do you have?
No, my crystal.
Okay, no problem. Okay, moving on to what my agenda doesn't show the whole thing. So moving on to the PFAS update, I should have known, Jason.
Yeah, Jason Dadakis and Chris Olson will tag team this tonight.
Okay.
Great. Good evening, Madam President, members of the board. Just our brief monthly PFAS update. I'm going to give a regulatory update about some developments we want to make the board aware of. Then I'll turn it over to Chris to give the treatment systems update. Want to make the board aware of that the White House Office of Management and Budget has completed their review of EPA's final PFAS drinking water regulation. That occurred on the 27th. OMB gave public notice of that. As the board's aware, OMB typically reviews these federal rules proposed by federal agencies before they're published in the final register and made effective. This kind of indicates that the issuance of that final rule is imminent. It literally could be any day now, but folks have taken notice that EPA has a press event scheduled on the 15th of this month in North Carolina. That is the home state of the EPA administrator and a state that has some PFAS issues they're dealing with. So folks reading the tea leaves are thinking that perhaps that event on the 15th could be where the announcement is made and coincident with publication in the Federal Register of the rule. Looking a little further, to May 22nd is the deadline for this current administration's agencies to establish rules that wouldn't be subject to the kind of the look back review by the next Congress, next election. So that's another bright line that may be influencing this, but it looks like we're going to have the rule out in the near future. There hasn't been any public indication of any changes to the rule compared to the draft that was released by EPA last year this time. Just a reminder, some of the features of that draft rule were maximum contaminant levels for PFOA and PFOS, the two main PFAS, set at 4 parts per trillion. And then they were going to try to grab 4 additional PFAS through this kind of combined hazard index approach. And then they were posing kind of the standard 3-year compliance period. That's a feature of the Safe Drinking Water Act federally. So again, it's a little bit of conjecture about pieces is changing, but no clear evidence that it will. And given the amount of time that's kind of projected from OMB's review to when EPA may release it, it's sort of thought that OMB didn't request major changes, right? Because there's not a whole lot of time for changes to occur. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll make the board aware of that final rule when it's released. In our discussions with the state of California drinking water regulators, what they plan to do once this is released, it seems that the State Division of Drinking Water appears inclined to go ahead and adopt this federal rule, at least initially, especially if it looks anything like it did last year in the draft. In talking to the state folks, the bar for them to adopt the rule, if EPA has already done it, is much lower. Right. They, in statute in California, they don't have to go through a full economic analysis themselves. If they just adopt what EPA did, they can rely on EPA's economic analysis and shore that up. If they want to go beyond that, if they want to deviate from what US EPA does, it makes their job a lot harder. It takes more time. And I think the state's interest is to get something on the books sooner, not like the perfect be the enemy of the good, and adopt the federal rule. They have a longer-term effort going on, which I'll mention in a minute, about developing a California-specific rule. They're kind of in the research phase of that. But in listening to them, it sounds like that's a longer-term effort. They're not going to hold up enforcing on PFAS in California just to get a perfect rule in their mind. So that appears to be where the state is at. And their adoption will be, again, on that three-year compliance period, if that's what EPA says. Moving off the federal rule for a moment, I did want to talk about one thing that's occurred recently in the state. The State Division of Drinking Water has issued some new testing orders, some monitoring orders focused on disadvantaged communities statewide. This was a feature of the state's 2022 Budget Act, provided the funding for this and the impetus for this. And they have recently issued orders to almost 1,200 water systems statewide that serve disadvantaged or severely disadvantaged communities. And the tally is about nearly 3,800 wells included in these orders. And the state will do the testing for you. It's free testing. They're going to be looking for the same 25 PFAS that we look at commonly in the basin that the producers have to test for their treatment systems. That's the baseline. But they're also testing a couple more advanced monitoring techniques. One is kind of known as a total PFAS measurement, which essentially tries to kind of grab all the fluorine in a sample as an assessment of how much this unknown PFAS is there, ones we don't have targeted methods for. And then another technique is called non-target analysis, where you literally analyze a sample for anything that might be PFAS, even if you can't precisely identify exactly what it is. It's another way of quantifying kind of the world of PFAS. And so they're prescribing that method as well. The state has a contractor that will contact these systems and collect the samples, and then a laboratory they've hired to do the analysis. And the funding for this development of these methods and some of these, especially the latter two, was attached to that same budget act to provide the funding for this testing. It was sort of married with the DACs. And it's thought that the use of these methods, especially, again, those last two, the total PFAS and non-targeted, may feature in that future state of California regulation. They would like to kind of go beyond potentially what EPA is doing with just the targeted method. So this effort is to get some information on the DACs, but also refine these techniques to potentially feature in future state regulation. So here in Orange County, our service area, six small public water systems received these orders. We were copied on this by the local DDW office, the State Division of Drinking Water. You can see them listed here. Small systems in the city of Fullerton, one also in the city of Stanton, three in the Midway City area, an unincorporated area of the county, and then one in Huntington Beach. And you can see by the populations and connections here, these are relatively small systems serving small areas, kind of older legacy mutual water companies and associations, featuring maybe one well, at most two in their system. We interact with these folks. We provide monitoring of their wells like we do the larger producers as well. So we have a working relationship with them. Some of these wells have been tested for PFAS before through other orders from the state. Some have not. Some of this will be new testing when these orders start. And they have about 3 years to complete this testing. So to work with the state's contractor on setting up the sampling and the analysis. And this is just to show you graphically. Here's a map showing where those systems are. So again, the Page system up in Fullerton here. The Hines system with two wells in Stanton, and then the Midway City area is down here, and then the Liberty Park well down here in Huntington Beach. So just want to make the board aware of that these new orders were being sent out to some of our smaller groundwater pumpers in the area. And I'll stop there.
Jason, based on your experience now with other testing, do you anticipate that their wells will have a detection of PFAS chemicals?
So if I go back one here, yeah, so the first couple listed here, Director Bilodeau, the ones that have had prior testing, yeah, I would assume they're going to test again. The one in Fullerton, the one in one of the wells in Stanton. I probably wouldn't expect. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say on the Midway City wells because they're kind of right on the fringe of where we've been seeing it in kind of the Garden Grove, Westminster area. So I think that's it's hard to say. I would not expect the Liberty Park well, Honey Beach. We tested it before, and just given where it is and how deep it is, we don't have any evidence of that.
So clearly, if you have a well that serves 119 people, it's not practical to build them a wellhead treatment system. You'd be better off buying them bottled water for the rest of their lives. Be cheaper. But so have we thought about a strategy on how to deal with that?
Well, it'd probably be better for whatever city they were located in to try to take over. And that has happened with other small mutuals. Because, yeah, it's impractical to build a $6 million treatment system for a well like that. So we'll probably have discussions with the producers to make them aware that they may have a mutual in their city that, you know, logically they should maybe try to just decide to take it over somehow. Other than that, yeah, it's, see how it plays out. Yeah.
Does the state have to do the testing or can we do the testing?
The order that these systems receive requires them to, I believe, participate in the state's testing and do these three tests. Our laboratory can currently do the first one, right? The other two techniques our laboratory is not currently capable of doing.
Okay.
But we're in communication with these systems and with the local regulators, and we're trying to stay in the loop and at least receive the results they get from this test. We obviously want to have an interest in knowing where the PFAS is in these systems, so we'll be looped into that. But unless they've received an order previously or requested the testing, as you can see here, the ones in Midway City haven't been tested yet.
But Huntington Beach has.
Yeah, and that, it's interesting that Liberty Park, was in a prior order, one of the early orders that came out, I believe, because it's close, within a mile of an old landfill. And that air was sort of the trigger for the state 40 years ago. And I think for whatever reason, it came up again in the disadvantaged community search, triggered it again. They weren't exempted from their prior testing. The state said, no, you're on the list again.
Oh.
So that's why they're having to test it now. Great.
Anybody else online? Okay.
Great. Great. I'll turn it over to Chris.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Jason. Good evening, President Green, members of the board. I'm happy to announce that we've got a couple more wells that are now on the operations list. So we're at 38. That's because East Orange County had their two wells added and one of the Anaheim wells. So East Orange County is now off the schedule finally. Looking at the schedule here, we have a handful more that are going to be operational in the next couple months, and those are from Anaheim Phase B, IRWD, and Fullerton Main Plant. If you're looking at this schedule, you'll see the ones in yellow. Those are the design ones. There's four of them there that have short bars. That's because we're probably going to be going out to bid in the next couple months with Santa Ana's two wells, the wells 27 and 28. We're going to be putting that contract out to bid in about 2 weeks. So there's going to be quite a bit more going on, contracts coming up back to the board for approval over the next couple of months. And then the balance of them are in construction still. So I will jump into talking about Anaheim Phase B, where we have the six wells, one of them operational. It's the five locations. Update is for the Santa Cruz sites where there's the two wells, 60 and 61. They've received their well pumps, on-site electrical work and pipeline work continues. They have transmission pipeline work happening, connection pipeline work happening. At the Brookhurst site, it's again, it's insulation of pipeline. electrical for the new pump and the new well pump continues and other site work. Downtown, they're looking at having this site filled with resin pretty soon, as soon as they get their pump installed and tested. So that'll be the next one that's up and running. And then a quick picture here of their Willow Park site. Those are the three systems installed. They're also working on above and underground piping installation and then building modifications. So again, the one of them is going to be operational in the next month and the balance will be in about 3 months. So phase B is coming to a close to get those wells operational. Over at Orange, where we have wells 20, 21, and 22, that's an OCWD contract, call it phase two. Well 28 is an Orange contract that they are working on themselves, all in construction, at the beginning stages of construction. Here's a shot of the Well 20 site. This was that site I previously shown that was flooded from all the rain. So once that cleared up, they got the subgrade compacted, the underground conduits installed. They're going to be getting ready to form up over there, get rebar placement, and start pouring slabs out there. Well 22 site, above ground demolition is complete. It'll be the same process. They'll start the over-excavation and getting the subgrade ready for vessel pads out there. And then a close-up shot of the Well 28 site. This is the site that has the recessed pit, so the slab floor is complete. The vertical wood you see there is the forming walls for the recessed pit portion. Also, these wells are all about the same schedule. It's going to be 6 to 9 months or so before they're operational. Over at Tustin, the four wells at the centralized treatment plant with the pipeline. We got our final treatment system installed, so there's four out there. And this is just a picture of the truck staging out in Main Street. So they're working on installing and anchoring those vessels to the slab. Here's a cool aerial that shows the three systems installed and the other two getting ready to be installed. So you can see it's a tight site over there. Work continues. It looks like there's a lot done, but there's still a lot to be done, especially when it comes to the pipeline work. So looking towards the end of the year to get Tustin, those four wells, operational. All right, we're going to go into grant efforts. The first one is the current grant funding efforts. I'm not going to talk a lot about this. If you have questions, please just interrupt me. Nothing has changed from the last month when we started talking about it. It's the Prop 1 IRWM. It's the State Board Emerging Contaminant Principal Forgiveness, 50% up to $5 million. It's the federal 2023 earmark. And then those are what we have right now for the current efforts. Looking at upcoming, there's a couple of new additions here. I'm going to skip right down to number five. Is we know about that one. That's the 2024 earmark that Representative Kim got us for the $1.75 million. It's been approved. Items number six and seven are new. We have submitted applications to Senators Padilla and Butler and Representative Kim for $5 million for the 2025 earmark. And then the City of Santa Ana also sent a letter to Representative Correa for a $5 million earmark. The USBR is still on there. That's more to come, to be determined on what actually comes of that. So then I want to jump back up to items one through four, the State Board Emerging Contaminant Principal Forgiveness. If you recall last month, I was talking about the State Board staff told us, hey, whatever you got coming out that could be impacted by the MCL, submit to us early, project summaries. So we did. That's what you see there, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Westminster. And that's for the 50% up to $5 million. That was as of Monday. As of yesterday, we got terrific news that they are upping that dollar amount to $10 million. So we are going to be revising the Garden Grove and Golden State to get an additional five each. So that's $10 million. But we also have the capability to submit another application for Anaheim, Fullerton, Orange, and Santa Ana for a potential $20 million more for a combined $30 million more between those. So that is really good news, and that brings the potential there for future over $61 million. So with that, we can take any questions anyone may have.
Okay.
On the images you showed of the stations that you're building, a couple of them were near residential. How loud are those facilities, and do residents, will they complain, or will there be any issues? Is there sound mitigating things you could do?
So the systems themselves don't make noise unless they have a booster pump added to it. What makes the noise generally is the existing well that's already on site that's operating.
And most places that are near neighborhoods have sound mitigations, whether the well's in an enclosure, there's sound panels to keep the noise down. But those vessel systems by themselves, you wouldn't even know there was anything going on in there.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Anybody else? Anybody? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to Sapa.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Yesterday morning's Sapa Commission meeting, it was a fairly light agenda. First, we received an update, a complete report from our legislative lobbyists. And the second item was the commission approved a labor market survey of agencies and approved a list of potential agencies for comparison purposes for compensation and position comparisons. And that was pretty much it.
All right. Well, thank you. Okay, moving on to committee reports, property. Okay, good enough. Verbal reports. I do not have a report. General manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay. Directors, anybody? Okay. General counsel?
Director Tran has his hand raised.
Oh, sorry. Director Tran?
Yes, I was trying to ask, if I may digress, the general manager and one of his directors, regarding with all the PFAS updates and reporting that you have been giving us over the past year, and progress has been ongoing and it's great, and the funding has been used as the funding has been rolling in and all of that, and the infrastructure and all the documentations are also being inputted or included. I'm curious, as a lay person, for example, I mean, the public will want to know as we present and as we reach out to the community as to our efforts to clean up the PFAS contamination, which costs hundreds of millions of dollars, literally, with all of these new systems or contraptions that we're putting in, for lack of a better description. If I may ask, other than the particles, the reduction of particles that we're trying to clean up or reduce or mitigate to lower than 4 parts per trillion, what else is being cleaned? I mean, with these new filters or machines or contraptions, however you want to call it, because I would be curious to know that other than just the particles that we're trying to clean up, which are arguably, some folks would even say that it's not even going to be a health issue. I'm curious that with the hundreds of millions of dollars that we're going to be spending going forward, if not already, what else are we using these new installations for in terms of cleaning up or improving the quality of the water that we're using, if any?
Director Tran, I'll give a general answer, then I'll ask Jason Dadakis to also comment. But in general, the resin that we have in the vessels, the resin is targeted to just removing the PFAS. And so it's not providing much other treatment, but I'm going to let Jason Dadakis add on to that, maybe correct me.
Yeah, no, that John's correct. It's the resin we picked is very selective for PFAS. That's one of the reasons why it lasts so long, right? It's not pulling out many other things for the water. The only thing it may be removing is the resins we're using are derived from resins that are originally designed to remove perchlorate from water. But in any of the wells we've been targeting, there really isn't detectable perchlorate.
But that really begs the question, because If I'm a taxpayer, I would ask the question that, okay, if that's all we're doing, and that is to basically installing the resin or some sort of a special resin to pick up the PFAS or the particles, the PFAS particles from the water, then why does it cost $100 million within the next several years, 2 years, that we're going to have to spend? Because we're seeing huge tanks and machines being installed and pipes being installed. What are we doing with all of that? What are the purposes of all of these new tanks and contraptions that we're putting in? If all we're doing is just installing or inputting the resin to pick up the PFAS particles.
Yeah, Director Tai, I would just say that yes, for the most part, especially when we're doing the ion exchange resins, they are really just targeting the PFAS. Although Chris Olson just mentioned to me that in the City of Fullerton's facility that's about to come online is going to use a different absorbent called granular activated carbon. That does have a little bit broader spectrum of what it removes from the water in terms of dissolved organics, especially some of the VOC contamination in the Fullerton area. That's one of the reasons why Fullerton selected that, is that should those wells be impacted in the future by VOCs, the carbon would take care of both PFAS and VOCs.
No, I understand that you're not addressing, I guess I'm not making myself clear, or I'm not using the right technical language here, but from a lay person, taxpayer's perspective, as I said, you know, we're going to have to justify or at least explain the $100 million that we're spending to clean up the PFAS contamination as claimed by the EPA or by the regulatory agencies, that we need to do this. And what you are saying simply is that we're basically putting in resins and chemicals that will take care of these types of problems. But how do you justify, I guess, and this is a rhetorical question, but I think it's an important question from the public. They will ask, you know, how do you justify $100 million of all the equipments and all the tanks and pipes that we're purchasing to install, to do the installation? Are those necessary when we're just talking about resins or chemicals that are being put being placed in these types of equipments?
Director Tran, one thing that I could add is, you know, we have a problem with PFAS, and we have come up with the least expensive solution to remove the PFAS so that the water being served meets all state and federal requirements. If we wanted to, to give an example, we could have installed reverse osmosis at these wells, and that would have cost twice as much to operate, but that would have been overkill. These wells don't need reverse osmosis. We were actually kind of lucky that standard ion exchange treatment removed the PFAS, and it's a very common treatment and it's a treatment process very easy to operate. But, you know, we picked a solution to resolve the issue we had at hand, that we weren't going to be able to serve this water if it had PFAS in it. So, you know, we picked the most economical solution to just remove the PFAS to get the wells back online. That would be our explanation to the general public.
Okay. Very well. Thank you.
Director Whitaker.
Yes, thanks, President Green. Pardon my arriving late. We just completed our operations committee meeting over at OC San, and we were just discussing, and I'm no technical expert as well, but some of our capital investment projects are running out some 13 years, replacing many digesters which have hit their useful limit or have seismic issues as well. It was a major cost concern there. We were just discussing on whether to make, we have percentages of biosolids as either class A or class B. And it's a more expensive situation to make them class A, which makes it acceptable for spreading on food crops for the most part. But we're delaying because of substances of emerging concern and some of the vagaries that we're looking at regulatory-wise, and making a greater investment earlier to make much more of this the Class A biosolids. And so that's one thing that we're looking at over there, is supercritical water oxidation, is maybe applying methods to eliminate some of these other substances as well. But it is having, you know, there are some very great financial considerations there, because we're dealing right now with PFOS and PFAS, but there are many other things kind of coming down the pipe at us as well. So I was interested in Jason talking about whether or not our current resins are dealing with any other of the items of emerging concern, or really not at all.
Sure. No, thank you, Director Whitaker. The PFAS, the resins we're using are pretty selective for, again, for PFAS, and kind of by design in our pilot testing, and looking at the overall design of the system, as General Manager mentioned, it appears that's the most efficient, cost effective way to remove PFAS, because again, that's all they're really removing, and they last longer.
So it doesn't serendipitously deal with a few of these other bad actors coming down the pipe, right?
Not as well.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that. That's all, Madam President.
Okay. That take care of all the questions. Okay. General Counsel.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Madam President. We do have one closed session this evening pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2. Case of Merrill versus Santa Ana River Lakes et al. With that, recommend recess to closed session.
How long have they operated the session? 35 years?
Can we hold off? Okay.
Okay, so we return from closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D2. And there are no reportable items from the closed session.
Okay.